Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today we're going to be looking at the relationship between faith, grace, and works. But before we go there, just want to remind everyone that if you're listening or watching, that all of this material is available online for download, for free download. You can download the video portion, the audio portion, or the document portion, the actual text of the message. And also wanted to remind you of a new feature that we're offering this year, and that is something that we call Sermon Helps. These are brief outlines of messages that you can use and adapt for your own use, for whether it's for preaching or teaching, Bible studies, small groups, whatever the case may be. Anyway, it's all available on my website, which is PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com. Either one will get you there. And everything is absolutely free. Now, let's get to the message. Since faith is essential in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's important to understand what faith is and what it's not. And also, we need to understand the connection of faith to grace and works. Faith in the original Greek is the word pistis. And a Bible dictionary defines faith as persuasion or credence, moral conviction, assurance, confidence, belief, or fidelity, faithfulness. We also have a biblical definition of the word faith, and that is found in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith for a Christian is believing in the spiritual or the unseen. That's the definition of Hebrews 11:1. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and your hope is in his promises. Again, it's not faith in faith. Some people work that way. You know, I just have to drum up enough faith. Or it's not even faith in the promises found in the Bible. But it's faith in the one who made the promises in the Bible, our Lord. So faith is not wishing or hoping or wanting something to be. Instead, it's the confidence and the assurance that because of the love of God, that he will not leave you nor abandon you to your circumstances. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers." And those principalities and powers really refer to demonic activity. "Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you believe that? That nothing can separate you from his love. And knowing that nothing can separate you from God's love means that God's provision is available to you. You see, it's your faith in the Lord that causes you to behave or act in a manner that shows you have already received that for which you're believing. Now, that may be a confusing mouthful of words, so let me put it another way. The world says, "Show me, then I will believe." But God says, "Believe in me, then I will show you." Genuine faith believes in the promise even before the promise has been fulfilled. For some Christians, faith is seen as something that you employ or use in order to get God's attention. We may have a need, a desire, or some impending health crisis, whatever it might be. Now, don't get me wrong. When we have needs, we should bring them to the Lord. We're encouraged in the Word to bring our issues to the Lord. But faith is not something that we turn to only when we're in trouble. Faith is a continual manifestation of our righteousness before God. In other words, I am trying to live in a way that is pleasing to God. It's because of my fellowship or my intimacy with the Lord that I'm confident, I'm sure that he hears me and he will answer me in my time of need. He is my help as I walk in faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." You see, it is God who gives you the desire and he gives you the ability to do what pleases God. As in the Garden of Eden before the fall, God wants to walk with you and fellowship with you. As you see your relationship with him in this manner, you'll find that your faith will grow and all of the promises that faith brings will be yours. He just wants to have a relationship with you. I can think of no better book of the Bible than Romans 4 that speak to the three concerns that we have today. And again, those three concerns are grace, law or works, and faith. The Apostle Paul uses examples that the Jews of that time would be very familiar with. And the examples he uses are Abraham and King David. Abraham, because he is truly the father of Israel, in the sense that God had promised Abraham that out of his loins, that he would birth a great nation. And of course, we know that Israel is that nation. But also that a multitude of people would come from his loins. Clearly, the Jews of the day were very familiar with the promise of God to give Israel a land of their own and to live in prosperity. King David, of course, is the one whom God used to bring the struggling nation of Israel to power and to prominence. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in terms of Abraham, beginning in chapter 4. Paul wrote that Abraham discovered the things of the flesh, or what became later known as the works of the law, really meant nothing to God. Verse 3 says the following, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That is such a powerful statement just by itself. What Paul was saying was that it was faith that brought righteousness to Abraham. Remember, Abraham believed. He believed God. That's what faith is. Faith is simply believing in God and then doing according to what you believe. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 4, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." In essence, Paul is saying that if you're trying to work for your salvation, then it can't be by grace, because grace is a gift, and a gift means that it's not earned or not deserved. He then goes on, beginning in verse 5, to recount the words of King David in Romans 4:5. And David said, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." See, David noticed the same truth, that is not believing in a system or a ritual or an organization or a building or a denomination. He believed in him. He believed in the Lord. David was a man who believed God, and God's righteousness was imputed to him. Verse 6 says, "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." The keys there are is that David believed in God, and it was apart from works. It had nothing to do with works. There were many in that day that believed that because of the circumcision and the covenant of the law, that they automatically were heirs to the promise of Abraham. Let me put that another way. They believed that all they had to do was follow the rules and the regulations of the law, and the fact that they were Jews meant that they had earned the right to the promises of God. However, beginning in verse 9, Paul makes the case that Abraham was declared righteous because of faith, even before circumcision was instituted. This fact alone meant that God was not only the God of the Jews, but also non-Jews if they simply believed in the Lord and acted accordingly. To be a doer of the word is what God is looking for. Doing the word is evidence that you truly believe in Him. Many are content to just understand the word, and they believe that in an intellectual sense, but their lives don't reflect what they believe. Intellectual belief alone is not sufficient to have the righteousness of God imputed to you. What the Lord seeks is relationship, not just following rules and regulations. A true relationship will produce a desire to please the one who has rescued and delivered us, our Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of Romans 4 is an illustration of the faith that Abraham had in his Lord. In verse 16, Paul writes, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but of also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all." Now, I hope you can see what Paul was saying. He was saying the promise was not simply for the Jews, but for anyone who would believe in the Lord and trust Him. Then, beginning in verse 19, there's a very powerful section of Scripture. And it begins with, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body," speaking of Abraham, "already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." Remember, the promise was that they would have a son, and they waited patiently for the fulfillment of that promise. Here they were, beyond the age of childbearing, 190 years old for Sarah, and they still believed. Verse 20 says, speaking of Abraham, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't look at his circumstances. He didn't look at his age, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced, that's what faith is, being fully convinced that what he had promised, meaning the Lord, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Can you see it? It's by faith that we come to God. It's by faith that we appropriate or receive the promises of God. It's faith in the one who made the promises found in the Bible. The Lord is the one from whom all blessings flow. Then in verse 23, Paul writes, "Now it's not written for his sake," meaning Abraham, "that it was imputed to him, but for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and who was raised because of our justification." Hallelujah. He took away our sins. His righteousness was imputed upon us. And now in God's eyes, we are justified, just as if we had never sinned. In my opinion, I think the following verse speaks so clearly to the importance of grace and faith. And that's Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 8. And the writer says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Then verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Remember, grace is receiving something you didn't earn or you don't deserve. It's a gift. Salvation is offered as a gift from God, and we receive that gift by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It's not Him and works, but Him alone. Notice that the gift is not based on works, which simply means it has nothing to do with your own efforts to make yourself worthy or to make yourself good enough. After all, how good is good enough? Now, grace doesn't end with the gift of salvation. What grace does, it creates a desire in us to please the one who has extended grace to us. As the scripture clearly says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Simply put, God has a plan for your life, and as you walk out His plan, then you will see the blessings of God poured out on your life. And finally, as we begin to close, remember, you can't please God without faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 11:6. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you are already worthy. Not because of your efforts or the work or your work, but because of your faith in the one who has rescued you, has delivered you. The kind of faith the Lord is looking for is the faith that can see the promise even before it comes to pass. Faith that doesn't look at the circumstances, but a faith that sees that the promise keeper is Jesus and rejoices in Him. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things unseen. Or as another translation puts it, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And I encourage you this day, as you learn to walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by spiritual eyes, not by physical eyes. We walk by a spiritual relationship with the one who has created the entire universe. We walk with the one who has demonstrated how much He loves you by going to the cross, shedding His blood so that your sins would be forgiven, but being raised again so that we would have the sure assurance that we will rise up with Him. Finally, don't forget, bring it constantly to your remembrance that you are saved by grace through faith, not of works. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. God bless you. We'll see you next time.